This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. It's been 2 weeks since League of Legends patch 8.4, and this was a huge weapons overhaul. Joining me to speak about how patch 8.4 has been doing and what we can expect from this latest patch 8.5 is InVin Global esports reporter James Hong. Thanks for joining me, James.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me, how long have you been an esports analyst?
Roughly 4 to 5 years, somewhere like that.
Oh, cool. Did you always start doing with League of Legends, or did you do other games?
At heart, League of Legends has always been the game for me. So I'm pretty sure I started off with League of Legends and branched off to other games. I think it's majority League of Legends for me.
Now, do you only do analysts for League of Legends or other sports as well, esports?
I majority do analysis for League of Legends, but I do analysts for other games such as Hearthstone, Overwatch, PUBG, or PlayerUnknown's Battleground, things like that.
Okay, that's pretty cool. I like Overwatch too. Tell me, before we get into patch 8.5, can you tell me, what did you think of the weapons overhaul in 8.4? Do you think it worked out?
I'm not sure if it worked out, but I think it was a nice change to the game, like the direction that Riot wanted to take it. Before in 8.3, mid laners really had no interactivity at all when they wanted to build items in lane or against certain champions, right? Like, hey, if you scale off AP, you need mana regen, just go Morale and Omicron every game on every champion. I'm guessing that Riot did not like that, and they wanted to kind of bring more diversity into items and into the mid lane, and I think that's why they kind of did this overhaul of all these items.
I'm kind of glad you said that, because mid lane, I think, was stuck doing the same weapons over and over and over again. There was no, you couldn't really do anything. Especially towards late game, it was like, okay, I got to get the same stuff versus top lane or AD carry. You get to switch on your weapons. You're like, oh, there's some tanks. Let me get something that will peel the tanks. Oh, there's this. Let me get that. And do you think that mid laners now have the ability to peel tanks?
It all just revolves around the champion that you're playing, not necessarily the item. Because tanks are so overpowered right now just because the removal of Tracker's Knife, not necessarily the mid lane item changes. So because there's less vision in the early game, people want to play more aggressive junglers now, right? To get the ganks off early.
Yeah.
And if you do have aggressive and damage heavy junglers in the early, mid, and to the late game, you need someone who can take the hit for your team, engage. So that's how it naturally evolves to the whole tank mana, whether it be sometimes tank in the jungle or majority tanks in the top lane, right?
Right.
Regarding to the item changes in 8.4, I don't believe it really helped mid laners fight off those pesky top laners, but the trend now is everyone's going Archangel Staff, right, with a huge mana shield. So I guess to that extent, it did help a little.
Okay, so in the patch upcoming is going to have a new champion, Kasai. Mm. Did you have a chance to play her?
Oh, yeah, I played her once or twice.
What'd you think of her?
I think she's a very, very interesting champion. In the aspects of, she's not like the everyday kind of, hey, this is what she does. This is like, you know, how you build it. This is an ABC. Go play it, right?
Right.
Her kit is very diverse. Like, her Q evolves with the more AD you have. Her W evolves with the more AP you have. And her E evolves with more attack speed you have. So literally, Riot Games has dropped us a bomb of, like, we don't know what to do with it, right? She can go mid lane, top lane, jungle, etc. So I'm still trying to figure out the best build for her and figure out where she kind of belongs in the game.
I can see that. I remember when Zoe came out, I saw her a lot at top lane. And she wasn't supposed to be at top lane, but there she was. And everybody's trying to figure out where exactly Zoe could be. And I can see that happening with Kai'Sa. Now, the Q is with AD, it scales with AD. So could you just go like standard AD like weapons, or do you need to go like a hybrid?
I think the champion towards kind of evolving and doing really what you want to do in the game, I feel like you can go full AD, like whether it be lethality or just full crit build, and you can do damage that way. You can go hybrid as well. I think it just depends on your playstyle.
Now, I want to talk about the storyline. I know with Kasai, they changed the storyline for Kassadin and Malzahar. Why did you think they did that? I mean, like, is the storyline going to be a big deal now?
I believe Riot addressed this, explaining how they want to really make the stories more in-depth and more interactive towards the users, more specifically the players. So I believe Riot really wants to put more depth, right, like I said before, in these stories to make it really interesting to read, really easy to really know the champion that you love to play, right? So when they introduce the champion, I believe, I'm not speaking on behalf of Riot, but in my opinion, they want to connect her to champions that relate to the Void and really give her that little push, I guess, a little oomph that gives her that uniqueness, but also relatable to other characters that other players might love to read about or play.
I remember the story for her. It's like she's wearing a suit from the Void. And I thought, oh, she's like Venom. Instead of it being an alien symbiote.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Right? It's pretty cool. So I'm already stoked about it. I'm like, I like Spider-Man. I like Venom. I'm going to dig this chick. It's a pretty decent storyline for her. It's just when it comes to the storylines, they really didn't care about them for a while. And it's kind of like some stories didn't match up with other stuff, like the lore's all over the place. So I would like to see some consistency. And I'm hoping as they do more reworks that there'll be more consistency in the stories, because I'm a sucker for stories.
Oh, yeah, me too. Definitely, definitely.
Now, for patch 8.5, what can we expect coming up?
Patch 8.5 is actually a fairly small patch compared to patch 8.4, but there's a lot of champion changes. Like, they're tweaking champions that are too powerful to go a bit down. They're tweaking champions that are not really used right now, such as Rengar and Jhin, Nocturne, things like that, so they can be able to compete with other top-tier champions. So I think it's a nice tweak to kind of balance out the champion pool that everyone is using right now.
I looked at it, and I saw that they're nerfing Azir. They've been nerfing him, like, every single patch. Are they saying that there's a problem with Azir?
I believe Azir is insane when it comes to laning. The sheer poke that Azir can do without getting really anything punished in return is what kind of incentivized Riot, I believe, to, you know, nerf him consecutively for 3 patches, I believe. His poke is just oppressive when you lane against Azir. You just have to respect him. You can't trade with him most of the time. When you're playing meta champions such as Orianna or Syndra, sometimes you can, but it's really hard. So it just comes down to his Q, and that's why they're nerfing his Q damage.
Well, my thing is that when it comes to any kind of character in any game, you know, when they get hit with the nerf bat too many times, usually means the character's broken. And in this case with Riot, why don't they just rework him? Or is it kind of like, he's okay, it's just a little bit?
I think in a game aspect, it is better to rework Azir, because if a champion's not working out, as you said, and if you keep nerfing him, it might be troublesome, right? But in the League of Legends as a whole, how champions have the game aspect, but they also have the concept art, the storyline, and everything like that, I think they want to keep that aligned. So in my opinion, when I see Azir's kit, it really demonstrates perfectly of what Azir is as a champion. Because Azir is the Emperor of the Sands. He's the Emperor of Shurima. So he should be ordering his soldiers to do all the dirty work for him. Maybe his ultimate, which literally his soldiers push people away from him, or, you know, his Q that the soldiers damage everything for him, right? So because the kit really shows what Azir really is and what he should do as a champion, I think that's why they're not reworking him just yet, if they are, and just tweaking him little bit by little bit, because they really want to keep how people play Azir.
Okay, cool. Sometimes I think that they don't rework champions like that because they think he's already perfect. The champion is perfect. It's just at the moment, he's a little overpowered. And it's really fun when a champion is just right and everybody else has to come up to him. But it's like, it's too many. 150 characters, they can't bring them all up. So it's like, let's nerf you down a little bit to get you on par with the rest of the kids.
Yeah.
All right. So Riot also has their own championship, like, series.
So the NALCS stands for North American League of Legends Championship Series.
So this is just like a bunch of people who are playing League of Legends then, right?
Any team that wants to compete competitively in League of Legends in North America, they just go to the LCS, apply. If they get in, they compete, and they can go further.
They have to pay, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Do you know offhand how much they have to pay? It's like a lot, right?
I'm not sure about the exact number as of now, but it's a lot of money that you need to pay for registration,
Yeah, it's no more like little guys. I couldn't join a team. I don't think now. I think it's a couple million dollars.
Usually teams that do join the NALCS, there are big game or esports organizations like Cloud9, TSM, Team Liquid that have a lot of resources that, you know, they can build a team with good players and apply. And
yeah, what is it, Team Echo Fox?
Actually, a lot of sports teams and sports owners have started to invest into esports. That's how I believe 100 Thieves and Echo Fox actually came from as well, because Echo Fox is owned by Rick Fox, who was previously a basketball player as well. So all sports coming in together.
So how many teams are in the league?
Right now there's 10 teams.
I'm curious, like, is it only 5 people who play the game on a team, or is there going to be like a second string?
Usually teams have one main team that debuts out every weekend for the game. And they have sub-players on certain positions. Of course, different for every team, but they go in and out sometimes, or they just watch the main team kind of perform and learn so they can one day do the same thing on maybe a different season.
So I always get a bit confused about the seasons. How are the seasons split up?
Seasons are split up by split, and splits can consist of maybe spring split or summer split, right?
Okay.
And we're currently in the spring split right now. The league is kind of run is that in a season there's multiple splits, and after each split they kind of qualify for an international event in between splits, or they have a higher standing in the next split or qualify for world championships, things like that.
So when does the season officially end?
Riot hasn't officially announced when season 8 will officially end, but according to the previous seasons and how they ended, whether it be season 5, 6, or 7, they always end around November 8th to 11th, give or take a day or two. So I'm expecting season 8 to end around maybe November 10th, 11th, something like that.
As of right now, who's the top teams in the NALCS?
Well, first place is Echo Fox. Second is Cloud9. Third is Clutch Gaming. And tied for fourth place are 100 Thieves and Team Liquid.
Will we ever see, like, teams from North America play against, like, the European teams?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. After the split, actually, the spring split, there's an international event called MSI, stands for Mid-Season Invitational. And pretty much this international event allows teams from all over the region, the best teams, to come up and compete against each other. You would see NA versus EU, or you would see like Korea versus China, things like that.
Thank you so much, James, for coming and talking about this with me. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
First of all, thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun talking. And if you guys want to check out anything that about me or about, you know, who I work with, things like that, you guys can check out InventGlobal.com. We post everything that you guys love if you guys love video games.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.